B-Pod Studios.
The games are back. And they're back on the Sports
Hub. Bruins 3, Hurricane!
With the guys that know the teams. And without paying a monthly fee.
Into the end zone! Touchdown!
For the Pats, the Celts, the Bruins, and the Revs. To Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now,
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mast.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B. Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mast.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom Brady also often asked if he has some input on trades and other transactions. He says, I just work here. That's what he tries to play it off as. But Mohamed Sanu, the acquisition of him last week, I am told by several sources that Brady really pushed for that one. So the Patriots willing to give up a second-round pick to get Sanu in, a guy that Brady was eager to have inside the building there and knows will be integral in the offense. He was a big factor there.
So that was NFL Network's Mike Garofalo last year in the days following the Patriots trade for Mohamed Sanu, a second round pick, which we here on the show all said at the time was a overpay. And Patriots fans, of course, immediately got their backs up, twisted themselves into a pretzel to tell us why it wasn't an overpay. He could play inside. He could play outside. He has an extra year. And so it turned out to be a massive overpay, but not just an overpay, a complete fail. Whether they had sent a first round or a seventh round pick for him, it turns into a fail because Mohamed Sanu never did anything for you. And today he was released, or he's supposed to be released. Did that officially come across?
I haven't seen anything officially on any kind of wire or anything, but I don't know. It's been reported so widely that
I thought it was supposed to become official at 4 o'clock on Thursday.
Yeah.
Whether it has or it hasn't, I don't know. Maybe something's cooking there, like they're trading him. But either way, they're widely reported, Sanu done. So another fail from Bill Belichick. And you can go in a lot of different directions with this. You can talk about Bill's recent struggles as a GM, his slump, his personnel slump, which I think he is definitely in, between the drafts and some of his personnel moves the last couple of years. Really rough go of it the last couple of years. You can easily go there. You can go to his struggles at wide receiver. Why can't he pick receivers? Why is he in such trouble at that position? You could easily go there. But where I go is what Garofalo was talking about there, and that Brady was lobbying for Mohamed Sanu. I am not blaming Tom Brady because he wanted Sanu. He's a quarterback. He's not a personnel guy. He's not a GM. He's not supposed to know who can play and who can't play on other teams. Not his job. His job is just to be surrounded. He wants to be surrounded by good players, and he thought Mohamed Sanu was good. So he was wrong. But I don't blame him for that. That's not his job. I blame the team for listening to him. I blame the team for trying to cater to him. And this is what happens when you try and cater to a superstar football player or a superstar quarterback and you try and, you know, let him call the shots. You end up reaching and you end up making mistakes. And I think that that's what happened with them with Antonio Brown. That's what happened with them with Mohamed Sanu. And who knows, maybe it even translates to N'Keal Harry. And they were trying to make Brady happy, while also filling a need, but also there was a dynamic there where Tom Brady had already told the team he wanted to leave. It was his last year where they agreed not to apply the franchise tag to him, and so they knew it was really tenuous. And so what do you know? That's the year they draft a receiver in the first round, they spend through the nose for Antonio Brown, and then send a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu, and I think it was all reaching for Brady. And all three have blown up in their face, and that's the lesson. You don't do that for the superstar quarterback.
So look, again, just look at the timeline. 2018, before that season, he asked to get out. They said no. So then another year comes around, and now it's, well, I'm leaving at the end of the year. My deal's up, and you're not going to franchise me. And so that's all there. And then all of a sudden, they go out, and they start go getting all these receivers to what? To try to convince Brady to stay? Don't be rash, Tom.
Well, this is the claim of the book, The Dynasty. So this is according to Robert Kraft, because this is Kraft's story, basically, the Chef Benedict book. And they highlight or they detail the conversation that got Antonio Brown here, where Kraft questioned Belichick about Antonio Brown's character and his domestic violence rap. And is this the kind of guy that we want? And Belichick told him, yes, it is the kind of guy that we want. And then Kraft called Brady. What do you think? Kraft said. And Benedict writes that Brady appreciated being asked One of his biggest frustrations in recent years had been the way key personnel decisions that affected the offense were made without input from him. So this time, Brady gets asked, what do you think? How do you feel about this? He tells Kraft, quote, I'm all for it, 100%. Kraft responds, so you support it 100%? 1,000%, Brady answers. Well, Kraft says, you deserve it. Here we go. I love you, end quote. So again, Kraft telling his story, but if I'm to believe it, Kraft passed Antonio Brown, passed Brady and Belichick, but Brady most importantly. And then Benedict writes, after he finally gets off the phone a final time with Belichick and gives him the, Belichick asks one final time, can I execute it? Belichick asks Kraft that. Kraft hesitates. He was still uneasy about signing Brown, meaning Kraft was, but he desperately wanted to keep Brady in New England beyond 2019, and the clock was ticking. Make the deal, he told Belichick. So he says it there in black and white that Kraft greenlights the Antonio Brown move because he wants to keep Tom Brady in New England beyond 2019. This is Kraft, not Belichick. So I think the same dynamic happened with Mohamed Sanu. I think Belichick, if he's going to trade a second-round pick, and they were paying Sanu millions of dollars, not the 15 that Antonio Brown got. And certainly Sanu didn't have this kind of baggage, but it still got to pass Kraft's desk. And who knows, maybe Kraft initiated the thing because he wanted it, because it was Kraft who wanted to keep Brady here in New England beyond 2019. I think Belichick went along with it, but could have gone either way.
Oh, I don't think there's any question they were trying to keep Brady happy.
They thought he was going to take their, whatever crap deal they were going to put in front of him this time. And because he's always capitulated every other time.
So they reach on Antonio Brown, they reach on Mohamed Sanu, and they both blow up in their face. That's what happens.
The move was so stupid.
That's what happens when you try and appease your pouty superstar.
I'll tell you what, I would add Harry to that list.
And I wonder if that applied at the draft too, where Kraft says, look, Bill, it's time to start surrounding Tommy. We don't want him going anywhere. And so next thing you know, for the first time ever, is it a coincidence that in this environment, first time ever, Belichick drafts a receiver in the first round, and that hasn't even worked out either?
I mean, there are just so many things that are so wrong with that whole scene. So again, Belichick calls Kraft, says, look, I think I can get Antonio Brown. What do you think? Kraft asks him a couple of questions. Then Bill says, look, I got to run. Hang on. Mayock's calling. I got to take the call. While that's going on, Kraft then calls Brady. That's ass backwards.
Brady was at home watching Michigan Army.
That's ass backwards.
Brady turned down the volume when he saw Kraft's name on the caller ID.
The way it should happen is the quarterback goes to the team and says, hey, this guy's out there. I can work with this guy. Really, Tom? Yeah, well, let's ask Bill about it. I mean, you know, he's the one that's got to coach him. He's the coach of the team. It went the other way. They went to Brady after Bill brought it up. So if Brady had said, you know, I don't love the guy, and would Kraft have then said to Bill, yeah, Tom doesn't love him, let's not do it?
I bet.
So Brady has more power than the coach?
This is sort of what I'm implying. I mean, not really, but...
No,
I think,
but that's how it feels in that scenario.
Yeah.
Right? That's how it comes off. Yeah, it's ass backwards.
And how's it possible that Robert Kraft actually knows about Antonio Brown's domestic violence allegations and Belichick didn't?
Oh, no. Well, Belichick, I mean, so here's the first conversation. Belichick cut to the chase when he called Kraft at 2 p.m. in his office. He thought he could sign Brown to a one-year contract that would cost $15 million, $10 million to sign. But if he was going to do it, he had to act fast. Other teams were in the hunt. He would obviously help us a lot, Belichick told Kraft. Kraft brought up Brown's erratic behavior. Quote, I don't think he's really that bad to deal with, Belichick said. Look, he hasn't worked out much in the preseason, but he would help us, believe me. Kraft said, do you know him? Belichick responded, I don't have any direct relationship. So that's the risk, Kraft said. I'm really not worried about that, said Belichick. Kraft said, I believe he had a domestic violence accusation in the past. How did that play out? Yeah, I get nauseous with that. That is like, that is just such revisionist history. Like, I don't know, like it really went down like that? Like, boy, talk about Kraft covering himself. I asked about the off-field stuff. I asked about the domestic violence. Belichick responded, he's a pretty good kid. Doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. I'm not aware of any domestic violence. So you're right, Bill did claim ignorance on the domestic violence.
Yeah, so either he's uninformed or he's ignorant and turning a blind eye to it. Or, you know, it's just either way. I don't think that's...
But either way...
It's not a good look.
So Belichick had another call coming in. It was from Raiders GM Mike Mayock. Let me take this, he told Kraft. I'll call you back. Kraft sat at his desk, weighing the pros and cons. uncertain whether Brady would leave in 1 year or two, Kraft knew that once he was gone, it would be impossible to ever match what had gone on in Foxborough over the previous 19 years. His priority was to extend the magic for a little longer. Kraft called Brady. So it says in black and white. So normally they wouldn't touch that Cretin with a 10-foot pole. Now we're talking about Antonio Brown, not Mohamed Sanu. But normally they wouldn't touch a guy like that with a 10-foot pole. Primarily, not that they don't take risks on guys. Of course they do. They don't do it for $15 million, 10 guaranteed. They'll take a risk on a Cretin at a minimum salary and blow him out of there at the first sign of trouble. They don't do that for $10 million guaranteed, 15 for 1 year. That they don't do.
No, they extended themselves for sure.
Why? And they just told us in black and white, uncertain whether Brady would leave in a year or two, Kraft knew that once he was gone, it would be impossible to ever match what had gone on in Foxborough over the previous 19 years. His priority was to extend the magic for a little longer. He called Brady. Got his blessing, then talked to... So if that happened on Brown, that happened on Sanu. It was the organizational mindset.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Again, in the way you frame it, I'm willing to bet Harry was part of that too. Yeah, again, they took a receiver in the first round. They signed Antonio Brown. They traded for Mohamed Sanu, a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu, for crying out loud. All of that to keep Brady happy.
So anyway,
and none of it worked.
Okay, and I just put Sanu in the same ballpark. I do. I think it was all part of the same effort. That Kraft was uneasy. And look, I think Bill played along. I think Bill got with the program. That's how Kraft felt. So I think Bill was going to play ball. The only thing they weren't going to do for Brady was give him a real contract. I think they were all in agreement on that. But if Kraft could get him to stay by giving him some players that he wanted, or making nice to him in another way, putting Alex back on the plane, you know, whatever. They would do that stuff. They just weren't going to give Brady any more real money. But they'd try anything else. And so they tried other stuff, and it blew up in their face. So that's the lesson on the Sanu thing, I think. How about Cam Newton officially being named the starter today? Aren't you a little surprised they announced it versus saying, we'll tell you 90 minutes before the game, a week from Sunday?
Yeah, I thought it would take longer.
I thought he'd play the game a little bit longer.
Yeah, I thought they would try to get everything they could out of this week, at the very least, and then maybe we'd know next week because it was game week. But, you know, there were those stories earlier in the week. They were making the transition to prep him for Miami later in the week, and maybe Bill wanted to make sure everybody knew, you know, by the time they actually started game prep.
So it all ties together with this campaign for Cam Newton that's gone on in the last week or so. The glowing reports, Belichick's 2-minute and 17-second soliloquy on Sirius XM on Monday. And, you know, the Mike Reese reported today, asked for the 5 strengths of the team. Number one was quarterback. Number one was quarterback. Mike Florio said the other day that they've upgraded a quarterback with Cam Newton over Tom Brady.
He didn't even play last year.
So the campaign that got shoved down our throat by the cartel for Stidham over the spring has now, they've begun a new campaign, and it's for Cam Newton and his positive impact on the team and the energy he brings to the field and what a score it is for Bill Belichick. And so now this is the new one. At least Cam Newton is worthy of that. I mean, at least it's not some fourth round pick backup. At least it's Cam Newton they're shoving down our throats. I guess maybe that makes it go down a little bit more, but he's officially named the starter today. And I'll just, again, dial it back. If I had told you a year ago, Patriots fans, they're going to let Tom Brady go to Tampa and Cam Newton's going to be your starter, how would you feel about that? What would the Felger and Maz Twitter poll read?
Oh, God.
Oh, 95% against.
I was just going to say 95-5 against.
Trolls. What are you guys even tweeting there? What? Brady's going to go to Tampa. Brady's going to go to Tampa and Cam Newton's going to be our quarterback? Good one, Felger. Go back to Wisconsin, you bum.
Yeah, that's a stupid question. You guys are trolling.
Think of that. If I told you a year ago at this time, Brady goes to Tampa because you wouldn't give him a real contract or he hated Bill so much. Let's just rephrase that. He hated Bill so much he had to go to Tampa. And you would end up with Cam Newton. How'd you feel about that?
So
why don't we dial that back a year and tell me how you... So given that, I don't like that. I mean, I was fine moving on from Brady. You know me. But replacing him with Cam Newton for 1 year? Yeah, that wasn't part of my plan. I wanted a system guy. Wanted it to be Stidham. But either way, there's that. Your calls on both those items at 617. You can weigh in on the Celts too. 617-779-0985 to you right after this.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger Mass.
Pass.
Okay, when you call and say two things, three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep two or three things in my head.
Felger and Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tom, there was a report last week, I guess after the team trade for Muhammad, that you had kind of pushed for him maybe behind the scenes. And I know you said in the past that you don't have anything to do with those sorts of transactions, but is this deadline an opportunity, or do you have an opportunity to maybe voice, you know, maybe whether it's a preference or just some of the things you liked about Muhammad before they made it?
I think, you know, I think everybody liked Muhammad, you know, so, yeah, everybody liked him.
So that was Brady a couple days after that Garofalo report being asked, is it true? Did you influence the Patriots on signing Mohamed Sanu? And he didn't deny it. He said, we all liked him. I always took that as a tacit acknowledgement, which is unbelievable. Like, the Pats were in on Manny Sanders years ago when he came out of Pittsburgh as a restricted guy. So they've liked him in the past. And then they chose Mohamed Sanu over Emmanuel Sanders. Again, Emmanuel Sanders and Sanu moved at last year's trade deadline. Sanu went here. Manny Sanders went to San Francisco. And played really well for the Niners.
There was real concern about Sanders' knee at that time.
There was that, and he only had 1 year left on his contract. Apparently, San Fran wanted Sanu first as well. You actually beat out San Fran to get Sanu. Maybe that's why you paid so much, because you had to outbid them, which is just insane. That the league felt Sanu had more to give than Manny Sanders at that time. If Jimmy Garoppolo didn't choke in that Super Bowl, Manny Sanders scores the game-winning touchdown. Open down the middle of the field. And he was good for the Niners. And he's good everywhere he's been. I love that guy. The Pats love that guy. But they wanted Sanu for some reason. Ah.
Had to be the size. And I'm telling you, not to, like, you know, go back and dissect every other thing. That Manny Sanders thing, what a mistake that was, too. And when I said meaning not to make him a better offer than what they did at the time. Like, if you want the player, go get the freaking player. Make him an offer they can't match.
And they're worried about the contract. And the whole Manny Sanders thing, then you could all whip it out and pleasure yourselves over the comp pick, which is what the Niners get. The Niners have got a third-round comp pick because Manny Sanders leaves as a free agent. So you could have had that thing, which you love. I know you love. So, like, what a whiff by Belichick. But I think it was done for the wrong reasons. I think they were betting over backwards for Tommy Boy. All right, back to your phones here, as promised. Here's someone calling themselves Maz. Is your name Maz?
Mazio.
Okay, Mazio. Go ahead. Mazio's in Philly. Go ahead, Mazio.
You guys got to remember, it's Labor Day. 9 weeks from now, when Kraft, if we get to see him in the stadium sitting there having a few drinks and a highball, Patriots are 2-6, and then an AFC East team's beating our butt, what's that going to look like? That's going to be priceless radio talk. Priceless.
Sure will. I'm not rooting for it, though. I mean, it'll be a bloodbath. I mean, that's a short-term fix. People think we want the teams to lose so we can rip them on the radio. That only lasts a day. If the team sucks, that's no good for anyone. So we actually want them to win long term. Okay? So just FYI on that. They're not going to start out 2-6. Home Miami week one.
Win.
We'll see.
Yeah, win.
At Seattle week two.
Loss.
Yeah, I give them actually a decent chance to win that.
Loss.
Maybe. Not winnable, though, without the, okay?
Yeah, but Seattle's better than they are.
Week three, home Oakland.
Oh, it's win. A win.
Okay, so they're 2-1 to start. Nice start. Nice little wind at your sails for the Cam Newton era.
Loss.
Week four at Kansas City.
Loss.
That's a loss.
Week five, home Denver.
Win.
Iffy.
3-2 to start, and now there's the bye.
I need a win there.
So you're no worse than 3-2 with 2 weeks to sort of say, maybe good start, settle ourselves, off and running, we're in the playoffs.
So now we're right that they're going to be 3-2?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, you said, so no worse than 3-2, so we got all those right?
I'm telling you, we've absolutely nailed it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, no, because we hit the bullseye on everything.
No, our track record is so strong. Joe and Wareham standing by on Marcus Smart. Go ahead, Joe. Joseph!
Yeah.
Joe, you got...
Is that the same guy?
I don't know. It might be.
Good God.
Tim and Nashua on the Pats. Hi, Tim.
Michael, you get rid of Brady. He's got... obviously, an arm injury and a foot injury, ankle injury. The same thing with Cam Newton. You've got the arm and the leg. So tell me, please tell me what injury that Stidham has and how long has he had it? Did he go back to Texas for a second opinion and they just didn't want to report it? Or
no, so the injury came after they fell out of love with him. Because they signed Cam Newton when he was in Texas at weddings.
Yeah, so, the other thing, he was playing at the beginning of camp, so he was healthy at the beginning of camp.
No, the Stidham had already fallen out of favor when he had the hip. Now, they had the competition, quote-unquote, for those first 3 or 4 days, and apparently Stidham was actually leading after day one, if you think it was legit. But then the hip happened, and he tapped out, and so that's it. That's over. The rest is history. Cam Newton named the starter today. So I think the injuries, I don't think the injuries are why they let Brady go or why they signed. Like, I think all those things are equal.
I still don't know what the hell he's talking about.
I don't get the point.
He lost me there at the beginning.
But the Stidham injury, I think, looks really bad for him. It says something about his preparation or readiness, or you have a chance to be the starting quarterback for Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, and you tap out of practice on day four with a hip, even though no one's touched you. That's just a horrible look.
It's a Pasternak injury.
Chris in the truck. Go, Chris.
Hey, can we add Brandon Cooks to the flops of wide receivers? As far as he had flashes, but as far as assets given up for 1 year players, first round for 1 year.
Yep. Well, yes,
you can, but
they got it back and came out ahead, didn't they?
So he won the value game, but how was the player evaluation?
No, not great.
Not great. So, no. Player evaluation was not great. That's fair. So part of it's fair.
So I think that's Chris's. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fair.
I would also say the Pats aren't alone. I mean, it's not like, you know, the Saints were more than willing to let Brandon Cooks go, and it's not like he's lit any place he's gone on fire. The Rams didn't love him either. Now where is he? He's on his third team now, right? Where'd he go after
the
Rams?
Where is he now? He is soft.
He's not still with the Rams?
I think they just let him go. I thought.
Well, you might be right.
Let's Google this.
So he
Texans.
Has been.
Oh, he's with the Oh, poor Deshaun Watson.
Texans?
Yep, yeah. Texans.
Ugh.
So I think a lot of guys have whiffed on Brandon Cooks, but so did you. You know, luckily, miraculously, McVay and whatever the Snead, the GM out there in LA, they're waiting for a first round pick to give you for a guy who failed with you. Like, talk about landing on your feet with that one.
I think they gave up 23 and got back 17 or something, didn't they?
Believe me, the Pats fans
asinine.
Fill the air with their farts telling you about how he moved up the board with that transaction.
You go from DeAndre Hopkins to Brandon Cooks.
Oh, David Malden, go.
You guys talked about this before. They picked a path. They said, look, do we forget doing anything else and keep Brady, and then we're hamstrung and we can't do anything and we can't move on and we can't get younger and we can't go into the next phase of Dynasty 2.0 or 3.0 or whatever you want to say. So they picked the path. So enough with that Brady chatter. What I'm interested in is you guys are burying the lead. The lead is, can Belichick do this yet again?
Agreed. That's the story. That's why this year's so interesting. Even if the team kind of blows, we'll find out. We'll have an answer. Not the definitive answer, but the first chapter in the answer. Can Bill do it without Tom Brady? Love it. Looking forward to the story.
He's going to have his toughest go yet this year. I mean, seriously, if he pulls a playoff team out of this thing, and look, a lot of it is tied to Newton, but they are thin, man. They are anorexic, for crying out loud.
One more segment of your wonderful phone calls after Big Jim Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mads.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment.
I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mads.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felga, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
How much can Mohamed Sanu help?
I really enjoyed last week with Mohamed. He came in, just embraced the opportunity, was very excited to be here, spent a lot of extra time at the facility learning what he had to do, and went out in the game, made some big catches for us, and he's loving the opportunity. We're going to keep finding ways to get him the ball. He's going to gain more confidence, you know, every week. And the more he and I can practice together, you know, the more we can trust each other, and that's going to be a big benefit to our team.
More from Brady at the time of the Sanu trade. He was all in. I don't blame him. He wanted him. I don't blame him. I blame the team for listening to him, trying to cater to him. It's when you make mistakes. So, you know, I was going through all this sound, and Stu and us were going through all this sound from last year because I wanted, you know, sort of relive what was being said at the time and how optimistic everyone was about it and how much Brady wanted it and all of that. And so, you know, I pulled some cuts from an October 25th presser where he was also asked about it and gave him an endorsement and, again, sort of tacitly acknowledged that he wanted him and was in on the decision and all of that. And I was just reading through the transcript, and then I came across this exchange. And it sounded so bitchy and so unlike Brady. That's just, like, This is back in October 25th. So when none of us, even though we felt it was a possibility he might leave and, you know, all the things were swirling, never in our wildest dreams do we think he was actually going to bolt. On October 25th, so again, he had this exchange on his contract status. Listen to this.
When you guys play a primetime game, particularly, there's always a lot, even more media discussion around that game. And just around this last one, there was some media discussion about your future and sort of what that's going to lead to. How are you approaching that this year?
My contract situation hasn't changed in many months, so I don't know why it gets brought up now. I don't know. I think it's just hype, media, and, you know, everyone's trying to make money, and, you know, that's what it's about. So I don't get into it. I mean, honestly, my situation hasn't changed, so I'm just focused on what I'm always focused on, which is this week trying to be a great quarterback for this team. And as I said the other day, you know, things happened at the right times, but this isn't, you know, the right time.
Tom, you get tired of it, Tom? It's just like, I mean, you're a human being, and
I'm a 42-year-old man, man. I'm get tired now. It's just part of it's just, I don't know, part of it's just being, you know, being Tom Brady, I guess.
Oh, how many times did he ever refer to himself in the third person?
Rarely.
Which is like the ultimate a-hole athlete. Yeah. Sort of, Brady almost never did it. He never did it, but at the end, he sort of, like, that's the sort of wonky it got. You know, he started to lash out at the media, which he never did. Remember when he filmed the thing outside the massage parlor for that show and he, you know.
The blame and shame media.
Blame and shame media. And here again, he's so, I guess, I don't remember what national TV game it was, but they're probably talking about his contract and the chance that he could leave. So it's just hype. Media, you're all just trying to make a buck. You know, it's just part of being Tom Brady. He talks about himself in the third person. Like, he laps into this thing that he never was before, previously. But how about that? You know all his people are just, you know, whether it's his dad or his surrounding cast or whatever, you know, slipping all the good info to the Brady media cartel. So the Patriots media cartel just reports what they're being told. They're 1,000% right that Brady's unhappy and he's frustrated and he's thinking of leaving, and that gets reported, and Brady then lashes out at the media in front of him there in Foxborough. You know, just trying to make money. Like, that's unbecoming. That's just unbecoming moments for Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, and it's so tough to be Tom. I mean, it's just part of the thing of being Tom Brady. It's a hard burden to carry.
Yeah, the people were
supermodel wife, hundreds of millions of dollars, living on the golf course. That's a tough gig.
Yeah, but the boss did hate him. So even with all that and all your
and he hated him right back.
Well, he's lashing out. He's blasting the media for reporting accurately what was going on, which was his contract's up and he's looking to leave. Like, and he rips the media for just reporting what was turned out to be 100% accurate.
Yeah, it's just it's your typical the media is good when they're helping me hawk something, and I can sell you some immunity powder or some other $50 bag of nuts or whatever bag of crap you want to sell me.
Protect $49.99.
But then when the media actually starts getting real issues and wants to know real information, then they're evil. Like, that's a standard. Like, that comes with the gig. You know that. It's part of the deal. But, like, put it in your pipe and smoke it. That must be tough being you.
So, I'm with you. I just will say, in Brady's defense, you know, it took him 19 years to get to that.
Oh, sure.
You know, most athletes of his stature show up and are a-holes on day one. It found him at the very end.
And the other thing is, when you listen to those comments, like, yeah, my situation hasn't changed in a long time. I don't know what you guys are talking about. You know, and again, knowing what we know now, I wanted out of here over a year ago, guys. I wanted out over a year and a half. You guys are way behind. I wanted out 18 months ago.
Back to your phones, as promised. Brian in the truck. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. Just looking at this roster, and it pisses me off because I think we're good enough to win about 8 games, and that's just no man's land in the NFL, and then, like, going forward, it's just going to age out, and I think we're in for, like, a 3-4 your rebuild because Bill Belichick, the GM, just couldn't draft the last, really, I don't know, 8 drafts or whatever it is.
Well, so he better pick up his drafting or else you're porked. I don't care who your coach is.
Shouldn't be that long. Shouldn't be 3 or 4 years. It won't be that long.
No, but these last couple, this draft, next draft, you know, 2 drafts ago, whatever, Michelle, Wynn, N'Keal Harry, like, that grouping of players in this year's class, they got to start hitting there or else they are in trouble. And I don't care how good a coach Bill Belichick is. I don't care if Bill Belichick, you know, clones himself with Vince Lombardi's DNA. It's If your roster blows that badly and you have no real quarterback, you're porked.
Yeah. I think they're already in trouble. The question is, how bad's it going to get? And if they, you know, again, look at the roster. How many drafts in a row have they missed on?
It's just Bill's still too good. The Jets and the Dolphins still suck too bad. Can't get out of their own way. So I don't care, you know, how bad the roster is. With Bill there and the division being the division, you're going to win enough games to get out of the high lottery in terms of the draft. If you're saying no man's land sucks and you'd rather tank and go to the bottom of the league, then you got to fire Bill. Then you got to move on from Bill and put some bozo in it, coach, and tank. But even if you do that, how are you going to catch Jacksonville with what they're doing?
Oh, no. You're not getting the number one pick. I'm not talking about that.
No, they're stripping that thing to the
bone. But would it shock you if they, again, shock, 5-11?
Yeah, I would be.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Not me.
It's too high.
Ah, Jimmy.
Not me. I mean, again, I think 5-11, 6-10 is in play.
Secondary's too good, and you look at the quarterbacks that are in your division. I mean,
8.
Yeah, right. Like
8-8.
7-9, I think, would be rock bottom for them.
3.
There's a lot of turnover there.
A lot of bozos still. As long as Adam Gase is still in this division. Has Miami named a starting quarterback? We have the Redskins.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
The Redskins did. The Rams have. Has Miami made any announcement?
It's got to be Fitzpatrick.
No, they haven't yet.
Why not? Why? If Tua's been out there.
Right, Tua's been.
Strategy.
Looking pretty good from what I've seen.
Ooh, Flores is making you prepare for two guys. Watch out.
Well, I wanted to get to an email quickly.
This is a great point. Go.
You asked earlier, why name Cam Newton today? Why not wait until, you know, almost a week before, or like a couple of days before you play Miami? Brandon writes in, you know this is a story to bury another one, right? Typical Patriot stuff. Sanu cut fuels the story of how bad a general manager Bill has been in recent memory. We're talking about Bill's mistakes. But nope, boom, guess who's the Patriots starting quarterback going to be for the season? Always a reason. Otherwise, Bill wouldn't tell us the starter until before game one.
It's a good point.
Love it.
Yeah, it's a good theory.
Love it.
I mean, that trade is
great
awful.
Theory. Great theory, but instead, breaking news.
Bill manipulating the media.
Oh,
again.
Love it. Love it. Good job, Bill. Leo in Boston. Go ahead, Leo.
Hey, guys. Two quick points. One, in 2018, Belichick missed out on Lamar Jackson and picked up Sony Michel. And the second point is, I think there were some articles around at that time where Brady was supporting Lamar Jackson and
yes,
that pick.
He was. He was, because they were both Under Armour guys or something like that?
Yeah, he was posting on Instagram in support of Lamar Jackson in general.
Right.
Not that the Patriots should get him, but, you know.
No, the guy that apparently was really into him was Josh McDaniels. And Belichick told him to stuff it. I'm taking this mediocre, injury-prone running back from Georgia.
Who can't catch.
Yeah, because some college coaching buddy of mine told me to take him.
Well, at least they got Damian Harris. Oh, that's right. He's hurt now, too.
That's right. OB in the Chelmsford. Go ahead, OB.
I think for the last few years, Belichick and McDaniels are just getting sick of looking for guys who can execute their game plan. You know, you've brought in guys with seemingly high football IQs like Eric Decker and, you know, Reggie Wayne, huh? And they just can't do it. And just like between...
I think they've, you know, so, OB, I'm just going to cut you. I think they've run the gambit of guys that are physical specimens like N'Keal Harry, and then guys who think the game, and none of them can play. So I don't know what, you know, I don't know where Bill goes from here, because he's tried the pure size speed guys. They suck. He's tried the heady guys. They've sucked. So, you know, where does he turn next?
I mean, in all seriousness, what free agent wide receivers have they brought in? Like, recently?
I mean,
has there been anybody good?
I mean, Cooks.
It was a trade, right?
Ish trade.
I mean, purely on the stats, yes, that worked.
I mean, I didn't hate Brandon Lloyd.
I was going to say Brandon Lloyd.
Oh, Brandon Lloyd, okay, yeah.
I didn't hate Brandon Lloyd. You know, 70 catches, get open, catch the ball, keep your mouth shut. Like, he was that guy. I was fine with that guy.
Brandon LaFell was good the first year.
And LaFell. Like, I was just going, who's the other guy? It was just like that.
LaFell was good the first
Donald
year.
Donald Hayes?
No.
That's a
long, long time ago. But LaFell, like, why can't they just do that again? Like, just that guy. The 60-70 catch, not going to wow you, but he's going to get open, catch the ball, be there most weeks, and... Like, the Fell was okay, and Brandon Lloyd was actually decent.
Yeah, he was all right. I wasn't a huge fan. He was a strange cat, right?
Yes.
I was kind of hoping they'd go get Devin Funchess. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Hasn't he opted out? Is he out of the league now?
I have no idea.
I think he did.
Luke in Duxbury on the Celts. Is this Luke in Duxbury?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi, Luke.
Hey, I want to get you guys' take on a debate that we had on site today. So, let's say the Celtics go to the finals against the Lakers and we have Gordon Hayward back. Who do you guys like to start the game between Gordon and Marcus Smart? And who do you guys like in the big moments between those guys, assuming both are playing well?
It's a good question.
Smart and Smart.
Yeah, Smart. And I tell Gordon to stay home.
Yeah, he comes off the bench. He plays with the bums.
What if you need a basket?
Well, then I do the hockey thing.
Well, I was going to say, timeout, Smart on defense, timeout, Hayward on offense.
Yeah.
Rust, new baby. Will his head be in it? I don't know. Stay home. I want him to stay home.
Okay, but again, like...
I'm not even kidding. I don't mean to come off as an a-hole.
I'm sort of with you. I think he's redundant.
Given this chemistry on this team, how well they're playing, if they get to the finals and he's available to come back, Gordon Hayward, stay home, please.
Oh, no, but he's coming back. You know he's coming back. I think the question, though, is...
Why, he's gonna be
I like the Hayward Smart question. I think that's a good one. Who do you want on the floor at the end of the game?
Smart.
Smart. Me, it's Smart.
Me, too.
I don't want Hayward on the floor at the end of the game, but I do want him back. I want someone out there instead of the Time Lord in the second and third quarters.
You'll live to regret those words again.
I mean, to me, I'll take Hayward with the second unit out there. I think you're better with Hayward.
Give me 20 seconds on tonight. Toronto have a sniff?
Yes.
Shocker.
Look, I don't think the gap between the teams is so big that the Celtics are going to sweep them. So I suppose they could lose 3-1, but what do I think is going to happen? I think Toronto wins tonight, the Celtics win game four, and then it's basically over. So I just don't think Toronto's quite dead yet.
Give me an OU for... Time Lord. Roll, Jimmy.
I think he's going to suck. He's due to suck, and I'm going to keep saying it until I'm right.
How many fouls?
Four. I'm sticking with four. They're going to start blowing the whistle and getting his ass out of the game because the league's going to intervene. So, you know, something like that's coming. I'll tell you one thing. He's not going to go 5 for 5 again. I promise you that one.
Celtics pregame coming your way at 6. Final word is next.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nope.
All right, with the talk of the Celtics leading into tonight's Game 3 down in the bubble against the Toronto Raptors, will we be seeing more Marcus Smart flopping? If so, it'll probably sound like this. Break it down for us, Felger.
And so the only good news to come out of the association in the last 2 days is that Marcus Smart got fined and called out for that embarrassing, bitchy flop that he did the other night against Toronto. Thank God. It's only $5,000, which is like...
That's a drop in the bucket.
Pocket lint, but at least he's called out for it, and at least they're acknowledging it.
I mean, that thing was bad.
No, he wasn't touched. He's just trying to fake you out, which he did.
Can we do a comparison of those two? I'd like to do that. I want to...
God, it's so bad. Every time. He's fine. He's just, but you blew the whistle again because he made the noise. Oh, it's so like this. This sport's silly. And it's not just that the officials suck. It's impossible to officiate. Like, it's just you're making a mockery of the game. Never mind. Every time someone takes a three now, it's and you get 3 free throws. So the game's just kind of silly. But it's just a bunch of freak shows throwing themselves at each other, faking fouls or drawing fouls. And that's like the game. It's like, it's just kind of a silly game. And that was one of those nights that it kind of hit me. Silly sport. But thank God at least finally someone called out Marcus Smart for the cheating, faking, flopping player that he is. You have any thoughts on this? We'll get to it after Big Jim Murray's update. Oh, it's so annoying. And the whistle blows every time.
Yeah.
How many times do the refs have to get hit in the nuts by this guy before they realize he's faking?
Well, we do have a little bit of time left before we get into the Celtics pregame show. Let's hear from Zach, who had a quick thought on the Red Sox, had the call of the day.
Zach in Milford. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, nice point on Smart there, Mike, but you got to remember, your basketball team in this town is the only one with balls and passion. The hockey team's home playing golf with Tuukka at the Woodlands. The Red Sox are playing, if you call that, and they suck.
Oh, yeah, you can't say right that, Zach, but the Celts are the only team in town playing with passion. True.
Yep.
100%.
Can I just say that he can't say that on the air, but I agree with him.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.